For the next couple of minutes, let's just take a look at this Gemara together. Tomorrow we're going to already dive in and start analyzing. Let's just read the Gemara together and begin to savor it together. From the star, Yosef Rav Kahana. Yasu Rav Kahana, Kufira Alpha Beis, Yasu Rav Kahana, Chua de Rav Yehuda, Kamei de Rav Huna. Rav Kahana, not the usual Rav Kahana, this is Rav Kahana, the brother of Rav Yehuda. The Gemara before quoted Rav Yehuda, so this might be his brother, younger brother, older brother, not sure. Say, Rav Kahana, Chua de Rav Yehuda, Rav Kahana, the brother of Yehuda, was sitting, Kamei de Rav Huna, in front of Rav Huna, that means Kamei is the language that's used to be the Talmud Lifnei Rabbo. So Rav Huna was a Rebbe. Rav Huna was a contemporary of Yehuda. So it sounds like maybe this is Yehuda's younger brother, Rav Kahana. So he was in the shir of his older brother's peer. He was in the shir of Rav Huna, and he said over Yosef Ka'amar, and he said over the following. If the pan in which you had salted meat, you cannot subsequently put hot food in that pan because the hot food is going to draw out the trefa bloody flavor of the car. That we learned before. But then Rav Kahana goes on to have another case. Tzanon shechasacho b'sakin mutar l'achol b'kutach. If I have a tzanon that was sliced with a knife, you're allowed to eat it in kutach. What do any of these words mean? So tzanon, you saw the Ma'amar Kamos. He gave you a copy of one page from HaTzomeach V'Chai B'Mishnah by Professor Yehuda Felix. I mentioned to you before, Yehuda Felix is an expert in paleobotany and paleozoology, ancient plants and animals. And specifically, certainly the Olma Yeshiva is most famous for his focus on the plants and animals, the flora and fauna of Tanakh and Mishnayos. He has a lot of beautiful things he's written. So the Shir HaShirim in his hands becomes totally different when you actually appreciate what everything means. And the seasons are being described, and the natural beauty is being described. But he's most famous by all my yeshivas for Tzomeach V'Chai B'Mishnah, where he goes through every single plant and animal mentioned anywhere in Shisha Sudra Mishnah. And as you saw in the Ma'amar Kamos, for each species, he'll give you the name that Chazal used, a picture or pictures of what they look like, what it looks like, and the names in modern Hebrew, in Latin, in English, the seven Mishnayos in which it appears. So you see, he shows you that the tzanon is a radish, specifically a sharp radish. Some radishes are very sharp. When we think of sharp vegetables, we typically think of onion and garlic and maybe pickles. But Chazal's go-to example of a davar charif, of a sharp vegetable, was a tzanon. A radish, depending on the color of the radish. Some radishes are not so sharp. If you have like the purple and white radish, they're not particularly sharp. The black radishes apparently are incredibly sharp. So you have this sharp radish, shechasacha besak, and you chopped it with a knife, mutar la'achol b'kutach. Even though you chopped the sharp vegetable, the sharp radish, with a knife, you're still allowed to eat it in kutach. What's kutach? Rashi explains that kutach is some sort of milchic sauce. We have nasyubi de chelba. You typically made it, we learn in Maseches Pesachim that it was chametz stick, and we learn in Maseches Chulin that it was milchik. It typically involved breadcrumbs and some sort of cheese and salt. A little bit like Caesar dressing, maybe. I think we came across this in before we learned Maseches Pesachim as well. So you have this, you chopped the radish with a knife. You're still allowed to eat it in the milchik sauce. Obviously, what type of radish are we talking about? Obviously, what type of a knife are we talking about? I'm talking about a fleshik knife. We're talking about a fleshik knife. There's an important rashi here that we're going to have to come back to. But right now, the Gemara is telling us you cut an onion or a radish with a fleshik knife, it stays parav. You're allowed to eat it with milchik sauce, which is not what we're used to hearing, but we're just getting started. My taima. So the girl wants to know, 1 second, how do you understand that? The two things that Rav Kahana said, they seem to be at odds with one another. How so? because he said you have the treifa pan, the pan that you use for salty meat, you're not allowed to use it with hot kosher food. The hot kosher food will become treif. But now I have a milch, a fleshik knife, and I use it to cut the sharp radish. The radish stays parf. So what's the stira? The stira is a pretty basic one. Do we care about kalim or not? If I have a treif a kli, does it make the next food treif? If I have a fleshik kli, does it make the next food fleshik? On the one hand, on the other hand, Kar Shamach Babasar will give its treif a tam into the hot meat, but the fleshik knife will not give its tam into the radish. So do kalim convey flavor or not? That's a pretty basic question. As you see later on, the Gemara is about to quote, there's a Tosefta, once again in Maseches Trumos, that says, yes, if you put milchiks into a fleshik pot, that's a problem. Put fleshik into a milchik pot, that's a problem. But here, Rav Kahana said over this quote that has two cases back to back, and they're soser one to the next. First, he says, the pan will give its tom of blood into the hot meat, but then he says the fleshik knife will not give its fleshik flavor into the sharp radish. Now, by the way, the first answer, the most obvious answer you could have given, what's the most obvious difference between putting hot meat onto a pan and cutting radish with a sharp knife? Sharp radish with a sharp knife. What's the most obvious difference you should have given? Not hot, exactly. In stage two, there's nothing to transfer the flavor. We said you cannot put hot meat into the treifa pan. But if you put cold meat in the treifa pan, it's not going to become treif. There's no method of tam transfer. And that would be the most obvious, simple answer to give. There's no method of tam transfer. So offhand, before we even get to Rashi, offhand, what the Gemara was already mechadesh is a fourth method of tam transfer. So far we came across that heat transfers flavor. We came across in the previous sugya, obviously we focused on number two, that maliach transfers flavor. When things are salty, they give off their flavor, even b'liya b'tzoni, even the cold. And Shmuel made brief mention in the previous sugya to a third method of tam transfer. Kavush kemavushal, if you soak things in liquid for a long time, even if the liquid is bland, but if you soak in it for 24 hours, it's going to share flavor. And here we have our fourth method of tam transfer. In addition to heat and maliach and kavush, we appear, again, we haven't gotten to Rashi yet, but as Pashup Shad, the Gemara just told us there is a fourth method of tam transfer, and that is cutting sharp foods. We're going to have to work out some of the details of that. But we've heard this before. You cut sharp onion. Onion is sharp. You cut it with a knife. Now the onion picks up flavor. That mix of two factors, of what we call davar charif, the food is a sharp food, and duchka disakina, the pressure of the knife. If you you're trying to get the pickle out of the jar, you spear it with a, puncture it with a fleshik knife, fleshik fork, or you take that pickle out with your fingers, but then you chop it with a fleshik knife, it became fleshik. It's a new fourth method of tam transfer. Duchka disakina, the pressure of the knife, plus davar charif, the sharpness of the food. So the Gemara seems to be, again, we'll get to Rashi next time, the Gemara seems to be assuming already that that's a given, that's a fourth method of tam transfer. So we're saying, hey, putting hot food in the tray for pan, or cutting the radish with the sharp radish with a fleshik knife, they should have been the same. So the Gemara is going to go on to give two or three other answers on the assumption that both heat and duchah desakina are valid methods of tam transfer. How come here there is tam transfer and there there's not? So Abaye is going to give one answer, then Rav is going to give a second answer, and then the Gemara is going to sort of patch Rava into what we could call another version or a third answer. Yeah, question. TJ? Yeah, we're going to get you asking a good question. How much pressure is considered pressure? We're going to get to, we're not ready to jump into Duchas Sakina right now. As I mentioned, we started the Sugya this morning. This Gemara is going to be presenting us, although we're officially continuing to discuss Ka'ara Shemach Babasar, in practice, this piece of Gemara through the two tasks is going to present us with several new major topics, most of which we're going to hold off on until upcoming Sugyas. The Gemara number one is talking about the topic of Kalim in general, and it's something we've been continuing to talk about. And another major topic, as you just pointed out, is this whole idea of Duchka de Sakina and Davar Charif, which we're not going to dig into deeply right now, no pun intended. We're going to get to that more fully at the very top of Kufyud Beis Amud Aleph. And Richem, tomorrow we're going to pick up. We got our feet wet a little bit in the Gemara. Abaye, we're going to begin to take a look at Abaye's answer tomorrow. Isura Bala, Hetera Bala. Maybe a difference between the two cases is, Fleishik Tam is kosher. It's just Fleishik. Whereas the Tam of the blood in the pan is actually Treif. So maybe that should matter. That's Abaye's approach. And then Rava's approach is maybe it has to do with experimentation. Can you taste it? Can you taste it? Because after all, this is going to launch us into what we're going to be focusing on this sugya. When the Mishnayos tell us, for instance, the Mishnah in Sadi Vav, the Mishnah in Kufches, it doesn't talk about Shishim. It said Benosein Tam. Well, if there's enough of the Treifa flavor that it gives flavor, that you can taste it, how do you measure that? So we automatically assume you just jump to, well, let's do the arithmetic. Let's figure out is it Batal B'Shishim or not. But as we're going to see, the Gemara, there and here, actually says there's a better method than Shishim. Shishim is a last resort. But there's a more direct way to figure out is it no Saint Tom. How do you tell if something has a flavor? You taste it. You use your tongue. So we're actually going to discover, we're going to be jumping that sugya of Kefela. And that's Rava's answer. And we're going to see that's going to take us back to Tzadi Vav and Tzadi Zayin and into a fascinating machlokas that we've shown him that will help us in, through the able hands of Rabbi Akiva Eiger to understand a difficult psak of the Rambam. I'm going to pause here for now so you guys can go to Bikias.